Well, hello, fuckers and fuckettes. Welcome to today's episode of the Mofo Show. Yes, I was gender inclusive. I just got the big eye roll. Welcome to the Yogi.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
It's St. Patrick's Day, and I'm wearing a red hat, and I have not heard the end of this yet.
No, I have green on.
I have blue on.
You're being very
I'm not even dressed yet.
True.
I barely have caffeine in my system, and she's already, like, ripping on me for not being very... I gave all my green to your daughter so she could go to the parade.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to wear my green pants to work tonight. That's going to be my...
Yep. You're getting in the mode.
Getting festive, getting sick with it. So I've been bugging her to do the show, and we're going to do the show, and I think it's hilarious because she told me, okay, well, I want to have some notes. What was the first thing you said to me when we got down here?
I don't have any notes.
So she's got to raw dog this conversation, and it's going to make her uncomfortable. And what are you going to do when you get uncomfortable? Are you going to sit with it?
I'm going to sit with it.
You're going to sit with it.
Of course I'm going to sit
okay.
with it.
Okay. She's going to practice mindfulness.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm going to sit in the emotion.
Sit in the emotion. I incessantly mock yoga and meditation. Right?
All the time.
All the time. Hippy-dippy bullshit. I got no time for it.
Mm-hmm.
The yogi, on the other hand, worships in the temple of Buddha. Right? Tell us about yoga, how yoga changed your life, how yoga fixed you. You have such a cool story on this.
You really want me to start from the beginning?
Yeah.
Like the very beginning?
No, why don't you start at the end because it'll make more sense.
It's a long story.
Well, go ahead. We have a long time.
Well, no. I had wanted to do it for a very long time because of what I do for work. And my body hurts all the time and standing. And so I thought, you know, yoga would probably be really good for me, but just never did it.
Prostitution is tough. No, tell everybody, what do you do for a living?
I am a hairstylist.
Oh, that's right. Hairstylist. Yes. She is not a prostitute. Pay
not
attention,
a prostitute.
People.
Not a prostitute. So anyway, I was at a time in my life that I needed to find something for myself. So I thought, maybe I'll give yoga a try. And I found a studio and sat out in front of the studio and had to talk myself into walking in there because it was something new. I'm not flexible at all. Still, even to this day, after practicing, I'm not the most flexible. And was afraid of looking like an idiot. I think as a lot of people are, afraid I was going to be judged for not knowing what I was doing. But I decided to go in anyway. And it was the greatest thing I ever did for myself. And got in the studio, found my little spot in the back, and did it. And signed up for a month and decided I was going to go back as much as I possibly could and take every single class that I could, whether it was advanced or if it was slow, whatever it was, I was going to take it if it fit into my schedule. And about the third class, I can remember specifically feeling something shift in me. And I felt very light. And I, even on the way home, I could feel, it sounds so hippy-dippy, but I felt a light shining out of the top of my head. I just felt good. And I thought to myself, man, I wish I could just bottle up this feeling and drink from it throughout the week because it felt so good.
So I want to interrupt you. You're on a roll, yeah. And I apologize. But
no.
Talk about feeling light. What does that mean? Because I don't understand that.
I felt no stress.
Okay.
I guess is the best way to describe it. You know how stress when you're
okay,
when
so
things weigh
heavy,
with
stress.
Yes,
okay,
like
okay.
When things weigh heavy on you. Yeah, I didn't feel that.
And then you just said you felt like you had a light shining on your head.
Felt,
so you're like Iron Man right now.
Yeah, I felt like I think that crown chakra was doing something at that moment.
Okay, so for those of us that don't know what the chakras are, could you explain the chakras?
Well, I'm not a big expert in the chakras, right? There's the seven chakras. There's the crown, the third eye, the throat, the heart, the solar plexus, the root chakra. I don't know if I missed
it. In essence, each of these chakras controls a portion of your body slash
yes, there's
soul
meridians
slash...
and there's, yeah, they do a lot. And when
okay.
they're blocked, we feel it. And yoga really does help to open up the chakras. But anyway, going back to my story.
It's so awesome. You can keep on track. Like, I don't even know where we are right now.
Anyway, I decided that I knew I wanted to continue on it, and I wanted to figure out how I can feel that way more often. And so I just dove right in, and I started reading everything I could possibly read about yoga. In a way, I became a little bit obsessed with it, but in a good way. And I read multiple books. I researched what yoga was, why it works for you. Then I found another studio, and it was a new studio. It's the one I teach at now, but it was a new studio at the time, and they didn't have a lot of students. And I happened to find a teacher that was there, Amy. Shout out to Amy. Love her. Will always love her for being such a huge part of my journey. And there was times that I was alone in class with her, so I got a lot of individual instruction. And I advanced, I guess you could say, or just quickly, because I had so much individual attention and I was doing so much research on it, and just really fell head over heels in love with the journey. And with her and in those classes, there was plenty of times that I actually cried on the yoga mat. And the first time that it ever happened to me, I was very shocked. I was like, what the hell is happening to me? Like, you don't cry in jazzercise. Like, why am I crying? And, you know, she just came over and touched me and just said, it's okay. This is, it's working. It's doing what it's supposed to do. And it helped me unlock a lot of blocked emotion, a lot of stored emotion, a lot of things I was just repressing and holding back. And yoga opens that up. And that's part of the chakras. That's part of when the chakras open and you get release. And so I was healing on the yoga mat from a lot of different areas of my life. And that was when I was in the throes of my ex-relationship and the heart of that. And it was the heat of that. And it was at the end of it. And it was really, really bad. So I was doing a lot of healing. I started the healing process. And that was what really helped me break that cycle of that toxic relationship, because I finally understood what I was feeling, why I was feeling the things I was feeling. I was confusing sometimes the things I was feeling, and I was really able to understand and get with myself. And I really started to fall in love with myself, and I really started to respect myself. And I think that is probably the first thing that I did, was we started to respect myself more and knew I deserved more, and knew that I had to stop this. I had to, you know, I had to break that cycle. So it did. It helped me break that cycle. And then I went on for yoga teacher training, and then went on for my life coaching training, and just one thing led to another. So that's the beginning of my yoga journey.
So you touched on one of my key principles that I figured out in growth, is learning to like ourselves, learning to, you know, the end goal, you obviously want to love yourself.
Right.
It's not easy.
No.
It's not easy. No. But so for you, yoga was the vehicle to...
Yoga was definitely the vehicle.
See, and that's awesome. And, you know, I tease her mercilessly, and I've had some negative experiences with yoga that I'll probably get into here in a little bit. But to hear someone say that that's how they discovered to like themselves, and I mean, even in the end, to respect yourself.
Yes.
Because I think so many of us that listen to this struggle with self-esteem, low self-esteem.
Yeah, I think all of us do. I think everybody does.
Yeah, you're not
wrong. To one degree or another.
You're not wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So... obviously, you know, you've made this your passion. You've put it together. You've gotten certification. So I can kind of pick on you for some of this stuff. What, I go to Target and I pick out a $20 yoga mat. I go to a yoga studio and, like, what do I do?
Just unroll your mat. It's as easy as that.
Well, there's like 498 different versions of yoga. Right, we have hot yoga, aerobic yoga, yin yoga, right. Yang yoga, mango pineapple yoga.
There are a lot of different yoga, but there is just the basic principle. Yoga is very simple at its core. There's the asanas, and it's simply the poses, and breathing is the basis of yoga. And yes, there's hot yoga, there's power yoga, there's yin yoga, there's yoga nidra. But I would just encourage anybody, if they're looking to get started, to just go to a studio and find, you know, the entry level class, which would be a slow flow, or they always have beginner classes, and just unroll the mat and start there. Nobody is judging you. Nobody is even paying attention to the person next to you. When you get on that mat, that is the one place when I unroll my mat and I step on that mat, I am there. It's like coming home. It's like coming home for me. And you don't pay attention. You're just with yourself. You're in this little rectangle space and you don't look at the person next to you. You're not looking at their feet. You're not looking that, oh my gosh, they're not doing it perfectly. There's no perfect yoga. None whatsoever. Even the most advanced yogis, the most Instagram-worthy yogis are never perfect. That's why we call it a practice. So one day your practice might be like spot on, and then the next day you might be falling out of all the poses. You know, it's just, it's different every time you show up. And every time you show up to practice, you're getting something from it, one way or the other. You're either going to get something from your practice or the practice is going to get something from you. It's a beautiful practice.
Practice is going to get something from you. I mm-hmm. like that. I like that. So in one of my grippy sock vacations, we had yoga 3 times a week, right? And the instructor there, this woman is like one of those Instagram people, right? She's just absolutely perfect. She's the person that walks with her chin up and, you know, she owns the room when she walks in there, but she's just completely soft, if that makes sense. Like, she's just so in control and has so much power, but she's so gentle and soft.
Right.
But the problem with this lady is, you know, she'd ask us, you know, we'd have, you know, 10, 15 soldiers in this room, you know, and we'd all be sitting down on the mats, and she'd be like, all right, well, on a scale of 1 to 5, how do we feel today? You know, and that's how she would determine her flow. And I think one of the coolest things about yoga, like you'd said, is that nobody is supposed to be judging anybody when they're on the mat.
Right.
I was so intimidated by that because, like, I'm old, I'm beat up, I'm fat, I'm not flexible, and I had guys that were still in really good shape in there. And there were a couple like me. There were a couple that just sat chairs and refused to do it too. But, you know, I would try to do it, and I was really, I honestly gave it 100% of myself trying to do it, and I just couldn't get comfortable.
Yeah.
I just couldn't get comfortable. And she'd come over and correct the poses, and it would hurt so bad. And there was so much silence. And I would get my tinnitus would just kick in and get that dee, you know. So then she'd turn on the music after. Well, I mean, the music was always on, but it was so low. But then she'd turn up the music for the flow, and that was better. But then it just became like this cardio workout where I couldn't keep up with anything she was doing. And now we're not going to like sit here and trash her and everything, but I think she was a little aggressive in her teaching style for having a lot of people that weren't involved in yoga.
Right. And I'm very sad by that because I was really excited to know that yoga was going to be part of something that you were doing out there, because it is very much a healing practice for people, and it's really, really great for people with PTSD and depression, and it's a really great tool. It's a really great tool. It helps us connect to our bodies. It helps us become more aware of our bodies.
It was interesting because there were a couple guys there that I could tell were totally into it, right? They'd never admit it or talk about. I mean, well, the one Doug would tell you right out, like, "Hey, that was a good workout. I liked it, and I feel better." And
yeah,
you know, he was super into it. But the rest of us would all just be like, "Come on, that was terrible. Let's, you know, we're all that hurt. That was, oh my god, what was she trying to make us do?" You know, and I don't know. It was a terrible experience for me. I dreaded it every day that we had to go. I just dreaded it. But I wasn't going to be the guy that sat in the chair and was like, yeah, fuck this, I'm not doing it.
Right.
I wasn't going to be that guy. So I tried. But, you know, with my back pain, man, I was just struggling to do any of that stuff. And, you know, you took me that one time on the mat here.
Yeah, we did it here.
We did some stuff, you know, and that was completely different. The coolest thing, though, was the Reiki. I dug the Reiki.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, I did. That was awesome.
Because you didn't have to sit. You didn't have to do anything. You just got to feel. Yeah. You just got to feel
that's
touch.
Exactly it, right?
You just got to feel the energy transfer.
Amazing. Reiki is so cool.
Yeah.
Can you just quick kick out, what is Reiki?
It's a healing modality as well. And it is, basically, it's a very light touch or no touch at all. And it's basically a transfer of energy, my energy to you, to the receiver. A master Reiki can feel the areas of energy, the blockages of the chakras, areas of work. You can feel that. You can tell. You can feel the heat. You can feel the sensations. Now, you felt some of the sensations when I was going over you. Yeah.
I'm 100% bought into Reiki.
Yeah, and that's the energy.
I know, and that's like when I want to talk hippy dippy bullshit, that is some hippy dippy bullshit. But I did feel the energy.
It's cool,
and I felt so much better.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Yeah, I really dug that.
Yeah, we need to pull the table out again and do that.
Well, I'm not going to fight you to pull out the table at all. I enjoy that. So, let's get into meditation.
Yeah,
meditation. This is just a flat out no-go to me. Every time somebody talks about mindfulness meditation, I always picture my first experience. I had a company commander who was a go-getter and very, trying all the new things. And we did a mindfulness half-hour guided meditation he even had like the gong thing that he rang. And I've never been in more complete and total agony in my life. My ears were ringing. My mind was racing. I was furious. Like, I was just angry. Like, let me out of here. Let me out of here. Like, I wanted to scream. I wanted to turn on some Motley Crue and just, like, flood my brain. Like, just let me out of here. And now you meditate daily.
I love meditation. I can understand the quiet for you is probably a little bit tough. I think that it maybe if you did maybe some headphones or some earbuds with maybe some white noise, that might help with that for you a little. I don't know, but it is very hard sometimes to sit with your thoughts. And that's a lot of why people say they can't do it. And it's a very common misconception that when you meditate, you have no thoughts. And so people will say to me all the time, I can't meditate. I can't. The thoughts are there. Well, that's the whole point. The whole point of meditation, and especially when you first start, you're going to be overwhelmed with your thoughts. The thoughts are going to be coming in. You're going to be thinking about, oh my God, I have to go to the grocery store. Oh, what's that noise? Or, I forgot I have to do this for work. And the intrusive thoughts just come in. They just keep coming in. And that's okay. The point of it is to notice that you're having thoughts. And then when you notice that you're having thoughts, oh, I'm thinking about the grocery store. Then you go back to your breath, or you go back to a mantra, and then it's going to be instantly probably that another thought's going to come into your head, but you notice it. Oh, I'm thinking, I'm noticing, I have a thought, and then you go back to your breath. It's the practice of noticing. And when you notice that, you pull yourself back to the present moment again. And so it teaches you, and it's a progressive, like it's not an overnight thing. It's not an overnight fix. The more you do it, the more benefits you're going to get from it. So people will do it for a week. Well, I didn't get anything from it. You didn't give it enough time. You have to give it more time than that. You have to continue, because the more you do it, the more the less thoughts that are going to come into your head. The more you're going to be able to sit there for a longer period of time and just breathe and just be with yourself and feel more at ease doing it. So I always encourage people to just start with 5 minutes. Just sit for 5 minutes. And it's not, you don't have to sit cross-legged in the middle of the floor with your hands in a mudra on your knees. Just find a comfortable chair. As long as you're sitting upright, your feet can be cross-legged or on the ground. If you need to feel more grounded, then have your feet placed firmly on the ground and just sit tall. The point is to not fall asleep. Sometimes you do fall asleep because you do get relaxed, but you want to be aware. You want to be conscious of what's happening around you. And it teaches you throughout the day, when you start to get those intrusive thoughts during the day, and anxiety is intrusive thoughts. Anxiety is thinking about the past, thinking about the future. Anxiety is strictly simply not being in the present moment. And meditation teaches you, you carry that throughout the day, because then you start to notice, oh, my thoughts are getting carried away. I'm thinking too much. Like I'm in my head. And then you can use the tools that you learn. You can go to your breath. You can, center yourself, figure out how to ground yourself, and go back to those tools. That's what meditation teaches you to do.
That's interesting. And the reason that I want her to talk about this on my show is there's so many of you guys out there listening to this that struggle with trauma and PTSD and all these things. This is a tool. This is a very viable tool. I have not had success with it, but I do believe it is a very important tool that many out there can take advantage of. And I'm not, you know, like I said, I love to joke about it, but I do, I believe in the core of this, and I know it's, you know, just knowing you as much as I know you and what it's done for you, I understand that there is value to this.
Right. Well,
I
I mean,
haven't been able to unlock it.
You know, you, I mean, right now I haven't been meditating. I mean, it's an easy practice to fall away from. It's a very easy practice to fall away from. And, but it's an easy practice to get back into as well. And you notice the difference in me when I meditate and when I don't meditate. I mean, you can see the difference in me.
I do.
I mean, that right there is truth or proof.
Yeah.
Proof that it works.
It's,
you know,
because
you can visibly see it.
I had never seen you stressed.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would stop meditating, and all of a sudden I started seeing you stressed out. And I'm like,
right.
Wait, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, like,
what?
What's different?
Who is this?
Like, what's different? But, you know, when I start to notice things in my life, when I start to feel, when I start to feel my anxiety shows up. I get it right in my, like, solar plexus, and my, right in my core. And when I start to feel off, when I start to feel stressed, when I start to feel anxious, when I start to feel sad or just heavy again or stuck, I have to go back to, what am I not doing in my life? What tools am I not using anymore? Am I meditating? Am I practicing yoga? Am I practicing mindfulness? What am I doing? You know, am I getting enough sleep? Things like that. But my first two go-tos are yoga and meditation. And I can guarantee if I'm feeling stuck, if I'm feeling more anxious, I've fallen off one of those practices.
I always thought that your meditation was fantasizing about Jason Momoa, because you always have this expression on your face like you're just tantrically. It's funny because I'll come down. She has what she refers to as the yoga room, which is her living room that she's got all zenned out.
Yeah.
Lots of green, very earthy in there.
It's my calming space.
It is. And, mm-hmm. you know, I'll come popping down the stairs and see her on the couch. I'm like, oop, I'm going to beeline over to the family room or, you know, whatever, give her space to get it done. But
doesn't it look peaceful?
It does look so mm-hmm. peaceful. But you also mm-hmm. have almost a smirk you hold. Yeah, that's why I'm like, Jason Momoa came to visit. All right, here we go. We have our hall passes. Hers is Jason Momoa. I'm not sure who mine is right now.
Has it changed? Well, no, it's Lainey now.
Right? Lainey Wilson. Or Audra Phillip or Audra Martin from the Minnesota Wild
show. She might get you with the hockey expertise there.
Yeah, and her fake hair extension and nails. I don't know why, but the fake girls get me. Well, Lainey's not fake. She's got a dump truck, but I can't help it.
Mm-hmm.
So how does somebody get started in meditation? Do you get a meditation coach? Do you read some books?
Well, when I'm working with my life coaching clients, I always tell them to download the Insight Timer. They have a lot of different meditations on there. My life coach.
That's an app?
It's an app, yes. It's
Insight Timer?
Insight Timer. Okay. Insight Timer. And there's thousands of meditations on there, guided meditations, thousands of meditation coaches. My life coach is on there. She's got quite a few meditations. One that Lady Gaga actually listened to and commented and gave her view and said it was the most amazing meditation, very powerful and kind of difficult for her. It was a, and I think it was an inner child meditation. But there's thousands to choose from. And there's a timer that will keep track of how often you do it if you do it daily. Some people like that goal. Like they like to see that, you know. It will, you can set the timer and it'll gong when you're to start your meditation, and it'll gong when you go off, so you don't have to worry about that. And I use that to keep my track of time. There's times I want a guided meditation, so I'll look through and look for what I think I need that day and find a guided meditation. Often I just sit quietly with myself. That's my favorite mindfulness meditation, and I just concentrate on my breath. So I encourage everyone to start with 5 minutes. If you can't do 5 minutes, start with three and then add on from there. 5 minutes is a good starting point. I think anybody can sit for 5 minutes, and you just have to sit there and don't worry about what it looked like, what it felt like. Just sit with your eyes closed for 5 minutes. And part of like the meditation, you know, when you want to get up, right? You want to get up, there's moments when I do that where I'm like, oh my gosh, like when I look and like, what time, you know, how much more do we have left? But you don't. You stay. And that also teaches you throughout life, and it's a, we call it like off the mat practice as well. Like, it teaches you that you can stay. It's okay. When things get uncomfortable, when life gets uncomfortable, you can stay.
Yes. I love that.
Yeah.
That's such a valuable lesson.
It is. And that's what yoga also does too. You know, when you're in a yoga pose and you're in, and you're standing there and you're warrior two and your arms are up and you're shaking because you're holding it longer than you want to hold it. And you're like, oh my God, when's she going to, you know, when are we going to move? When are they going to cue us something else? And you're there and you're just like, you're fighting it and you want to give up. You want to move. You want to move. And you don't. And you use your breath. And you take that big inhale and you just settle back into it and you can stay. And that's something, you know, off the mat you use. You're like, no, I'm uncomfortable. It's okay. I'm going to use my breath. I'm just going to breathe. It's fine.
That's super interesting because they do that to us in the military in basic training. It's the same thing.
Really?
Yeah. You know, you're doing push-ups and they'll give you up and they'll hold you up and they'll leave you down and they'll hold you there and you think you're going to die. And they'll tell you that if you move, they're going to kill you. You know, it's a little bit of stress and pressure on our side, but you know, they do that too with flutter kicks where we got to hold our feet 6 inches off the ground after doing, you know, a billion flutter kicks. Right. And the same thing, you know, they threaten us with bodily harm.
Yeah. And you know, maybe you can get through it, you
maybe
know?
That's why I hate yoga, because it just reminds me of all the flutter kicks and push-ups. And
maybe you don't like being directed.
That's entirely possible.
Right? Maybe.
It's entirely possible. I'm a spaz and have issues, but. So we talked a little bit about Insight Timer, how do you get started on meditation? How do you get started on yoga? What do you need?
Just a yoga mat. I mean, even you don't even need a yoga mat. Most studios will have practice mats. Wear comfortable loose clothing. You could take a towel. You know, if you're taking a hot yoga, you'll definitely want a towel. Take some water. You don't really need it. They'll have everything there you need. They'll have the props. They'll have the blocks. They'll have the bolsters, they'll have the blankets. So all you have to do is show up.
What do yoga classes cost?
It's an expensive practice. It can be an expensive practice. And usually like a drop-in, if you're going to just drop into a class, can be anywhere from $15 to $20 for a drop-in. Sometimes they're a little less. Most studios, I'm going to say like 99% of them, offer a new student special. And it's unlimited classes for a month. And it's really, really affordable. So it's like, I'm going to say it can be anywhere from like $39 to $59.
Yeah, that's how they get you. The first one's free. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes they'll do a first class for free.
Sure.
But the best way to do it, it is just, and then just dab, you know, dance around a little bit and find some different yoga studios, you know, and just try the ones. And one of them will feel like home. And once you get a mat, or once you, if you like it and you want to buy a mat, like invest in a good mat. Don't go to the discount store and buy one of the cheaper mats. Invest in a really good mat. I know Reagan loves her Lululemon. They're just get it. It's worth it.
When we first started dating, I bought a yoga mat to put in the apartment for you, and it was that super cheapy.
It was like an inch thick. It was like, yeah.
But I didn't know any better. Yeah. I'm like, oh, yoga.
It
mat.
Was really sweet of you
mat.
For that. Yeah, it was really sweet.
What do we use that for now? Like,
I think it's just behind. Yeah, I think it's just behind the couch.
Just a piece of shit. That was funny.
But it's simple, you know. I mean, and just show up and just listen and don't judge yourself. Don't just be there, you know. Be there.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for exploring yoga and meditation with us.
I love talking about yoga.
Well, that's kind of why I brought you here. So hey, you know, seriously, when you're dealing with feelings, when you're dealing with trauma and PTSD and all these different things, there's two tricks right there, two tools that may help you. They may not, but I think it's definitely worth exploring. So we thank the yogi for her time, and on that note, y'all get out there, kick some tires, light some fires, go fast, don't die, and remember, yoga third.